John 6:9. In most of the Bibles, it should be about page 763, but I'll pray first. Lord, please help us all to concentrate and think about your word, and lead and guide with conviction to change and change our lives to you. So, John 6, the whole chapter. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up onto a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast began. Then Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. He said to Philip, Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who had seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is the one to come into the world. Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, and they got into a boat and set off across the lake for the journey. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters were rough. When they had rowed 5 or 6 kilometers, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And they were terrified, but he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it, his disciples. But they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they went into the boats and went returning in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, where did you get him? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You were looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe it? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All that the Father gives. with me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down to heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, but I will raise him up at the last day. At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be called by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has ever seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate the manna and died, and he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching, who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. When Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe, and who would betray him, he went on to say, this is why I told you, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, I have not chosen you. Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is the devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, though one of the 12 was later to betray him.
Thanks, Jeff. I want you to think for a moment about your diet. What's your diet like? What's your diet like? This week I checked the Australian government healthy eating website, and as cliched as this is, this website said that as a country, Australia eats too many meat pies. Apparently, we also drink too many energy drinks. We have to eat in order to live, but too much salt, too much sugar, too much alcohol, too much fatty food, and what we eat could be killing us. I do care about my diet, a little at least. If I'm honest though, when it comes to eating healthy, I sort of adopt the attitude that close enough is good enough. I reckon a lot of us are just too busy to worry about our diets. We just end up eating whatever lands on the table in front of us, or whatever's left in the fridge. Or maybe if you're a student, you just eat whatever's on special at Aldi. Of course, if you take your diet really seriously, maybe you are on the Atkins diet, or the Paleo diet, or the Okinawa diet. You could even go vegetarian. Or if you're not quite that committed, I've heard there's a thing called flexitarian, which from what I gather is just having all the self-righteousness of being vegetarian, but still being able to eat meat. Food is essential. It has such a big effect on our health. We need it to stay alive. If we go without food just a few short hours, we start to feel hungry. In John chapter 6, Jesus has something really important to tell us about our diet. Start of the chapter, Jesus is faced with a hungry crowd. 5,000 men who followed him out of town to hear him speak, and every single one of them had forgotten to pack their lunch. Except for one boy, this one boy who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The disciples realized it would take more than 6 months' wages to buy food for all these people, but Jesus gave the people food. And he took the 5 loaves of bread, he took the 2 fish, and because Jesus is God, he made that tiny bit of food into enough for thousands to eat and be full. And there were still 12 basketfuls left over. There was more left over than what there was to start with. And when the people saw what Jesus did with these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, they said, "Surely Jesus is the prophet." It might sound like a bit strange conclusion to us, but not for a Jew, because way back in Israel's history, God said that a prophet like Moses was coming. And these Israelites, they were on the lookout for this prophet like Moses. And so when they saw this sign that Jesus did, they thought, Jesus is like Moses. Moses was the guy who led Israel out of Egypt. You can read all about it in the book of Exodus. So I'm not going to turn there now, but you can read about it later in Exodus. But you probably know the story anyway. Israel were all slaves in Egypt, and Moses led Israel out, and they escaped into the desert. And God told Moses, in the middle of the desert, that he was going to send the people bread to eat. And he did. And it was called manna. In the middle of the desert, they had so much of this manna to eat that they couldn't eat it. And here's Jesus, in the middle of nowhere, feeding 5,000 people. God said to Moses, and you can read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and just before Moses died, God said, "I'll raise up a prophet like Moses, and you must listen to this prophet." The people thought Jesus must be this prophet because Jesus was doing what Moses did. And John confirms our suspicions because that very same day, John tells us, Jesus walked on water. His disciples were out in their boat, they were trying to cross the Sea of Galilee. It's called the sea, but it's really just a big lake. They were trying to get across in a storm, but Jesus walked out to them and took them safely across the lake. Just like how Moses took Israel safely through the Red Sea when they escaped from Egypt. The bread from nowhere, the safe crossing of the sea, all adds up. Jesus is the prophet like Moses. Have a look at that. John chapter 6, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.'" They were right. Jesus is the prophet like Moses. And have a look up on the screen. This is what Moses said about Jesus. Yahweh your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. Jesus' words are very important. We need to listen to them. You might have noticed as we've been reading through John's Gospel, John often tells us about a sign that Jesus did, something supernatural, something miraculous. And then John tells us about what Jesus says about the sign. So it's all very well to be impressed by the sign, but we need to believe Jesus' words. The bread that those 5,000 people ate that day, they were still hungry by dinner time. The bread that their ancestors ate when they escaped from Egypt 1,000 years earlier, that bread didn't last either. They still got hungry. But Jesus has something to say about our diet that's of eternal significance. So have a look at John chapter 6, verse 53. Verse 53. Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and still died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. It's so important to listen to what Jesus has to say. It's really nice. He said something a little bit less disturbing. He says we need to eat his flesh. Jesus says we need to drink his blood. Jesus says if we eat him, we'll live forever. Jesus says he is the bread of life. But if we want to make sense of what this means, we have to go back again to that escape from Egypt from 1,000 years earlier. Right back at the start of this chapter, I check out verse 4. Right back at the start in verse 4, John tells us that Jesus fed these 5,000 people just before the Passover. The Passover was a feast that the Israelites had every year. They did it in remembrance of the first Passover. The first Passover was when God convinced the Egyptian Pharaoh to set Israel free. God showed Pharaoh signs, he gave him warnings, but for a long time, Pharaoh wouldn't let Israel leave Egypt. He obviously liked having his people as slaves. And so God said to Israel, again, the verse should be up on the screen. God said to Israel, I'm going to kill every firstborn male in Egypt. But so few be saved, kill a Passover lamb. Kill it and eat it. And take some of its blood and paint it on the doorposts of your house. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you and you'll be saved. That's how God set Israel free from Egypt. And so what John is implying by mentioning the Passover, and what Jesus is saying plainly, is he is the new Passover lamb. The Son of God was killed, the Son of God was crucified, so that death can pass over us. If we stand under the blood of Jesus, if we metaphorically paint the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of our house, then we can escape death and have life. Jesus became the lamb that died. Jesus became the lamb whose blood was poured out so that we can be set free from sin. Have a look at John chapter 6, verse 47. Verse 47 says, I tell you the truth, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life This is better food than the bread that came down from heaven when Israel were rescued. This is better food than the bread that Jesus gave those 5,000 people. This is food that gives life not just for a few hours, not just for a few days. This is food that gives life eternally. This is the ultimate diet. This is infinitely better than the paleo diet or the Atkins diet. This is the healthiest food there is. When I was in primary school, Healthy Harold, he was a giraffe, Healthy Harold came to my school, and he showed us this healthy food pyramid. And I can't even remember what was on the bottom layer of the pyramid, whatever it was, that was tough food, you're supposed to eat the most of it. Jesus is better than whatever that bottom layer was. Jesus is healthier. In Jesus, we can feast on the grace of God. Take a moment to think about your diet. What is your day? What is your week's diet look like? How many hours is it been? How much time do you spend on Facebook? How much time do you spend working out at the gym? How much time with your friends? How much time playing sport? Just like chocolate, just like meat pies, those things aren't necessarily bad unless they become your main diet. Are you getting a balanced diet? How do those things compare with the time that you spend picking up your Bible and reading the words of eternal life? How do those priorities compare with getting along to a small group and hearing the words of eternal life? How do they compare with the time that you spend deliberately doing things that serve our great King Jesus? Are you just too busy to get on the diet that brings eternal life? When it comes to knowing and loving Jesus and having life in His name, you just think, well, close enough to do that. When it comes to the grace of God, is it small amounts and not very often? Or is it 5 serves a day? Make sure you have a healthy diet. John says our diet is only healthy when Jesus is our number one food. Jesus says, this is straight from verse 35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. If we eat healthy food, we're healthy. And if we eat unhealthy food, we're unhealthy. You are what you eat. And Jesus is life. When Jesus' followers heard Jesus say these things, when they heard him say they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, he said, that is hard to eat. That's hard to swallow. So Jesus told them plainly. He says in verse 63, the words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. That's where we started, isn't it? Jesus' words are important. Jesus' words are life to those who believe in him. A bunch of Jesus' followers gave up at that point. They couldn't believe that Jesus' words were the way to eternal life. And Jesus asked his disciples if they wanted to give up as well. Come look at verse 66. Verse 66. From this time, many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One. There is no other diet that brings life except Jesus. I suppose the question that John leaves us with is, are we feasting on the words of Jesus? Are you feasting on the words of Jesus? Or is your diet less than healthy? What type of novels do you read? What type of magazines do you buy? What kind of friends do you hang out with? What websites do you visit when no one's watching? What do you spend your money on? Do you spend all your time frantically making money? Are you eating for life? Or are you eating food that will kill you? We see ads for McDonald's, we see ads for Coca-Cola, They make their product look pretty appealing. But we know, don't we, that as good as it looks, it's not the healthiest option. The world would love to sell you an unhealthy diet. People will say, time and time again, you live how you want, you don't need God. They'll say, any religion is fine, no religion is fine, you don't need Jesus. The truth is, those diets will leave you spiritually alone. The truth is that they're eating for death, not life. Come and feast on Jesus. Eat up his words like your life depends on it. Because it doesn't. If we don't eat for a few hours, we start getting hungry. If we don't eat for a few days, we're in trouble. Don't starve yourself of Jesus' words. Get on the diet. Help each other stay on the diet. Jesus is the food of the single one. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that Jesus died, that Jesus was killed as the Passover lamb in our place. He was crucified, his blood was spilled so that your anger could pass over us, so that we could be set free from sin. Thanks for Jesus' words, your message, the message of truth, the words of life. Thanks for the grace we see in Jesus' life, his death and his resurrection, the grace that we see in his words. God, help us to eat the bread of life. Help us drink living water. Help us not to starve ourselves of the food of the Son. And God, please change our hearts. Make us spiritually healthy by showing us just how Jesus' words change us. Lord, make us followers of this great King.